The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off this September with a letter from the guy who runs this, the Reader's Digest. He's the Chief Content Officer, Jason Burmeister. And there's a picture of his very attractive wife, Melissa, guiding us in Italy. And not pictured was him eating gelato. More than words. On a list of life goals that I have so far failed to complete, learning a foreign language is somewhere near the top. I always wanted to be fluent in a second language, but aside from memorizing a few useful phrases in high school Spanish and taking a Japanese course in college, I have yet to master a foreign language. My wife, Melissa Gorski, has all the talent in this department. She can learn a language in a weekend, at least enough to get around a foreign city. She's handy with Spanish and French. She once taught herself Japanese using an off-brand CD box set before a trip to Tokyo. Then she did it again with Italian. These days, we know our roles when traveling. She does all the talking, and I nod and eat gelato. That hasn't dampened my passion for languages and words. I love their history and meaning, the way they change and evolve over time, and the different sounds and rhymes of each language. I'm sorry, rhythms of each language. So I was right at home here on our word power issue. I loved exploring weird word origins and learning about your favorite words such as CWM, which is now my secret Scrabble move. Maybe it's not too late for me. As our own senior editor Emily Goodman puts it out, in Learn a Language as an Adult, new research shows it isn't as tough to learn a foreign language when we get older as researchers previously thought. There's hope for me yet. If this page is in French next month, you know I finally did it. How about letters from notes on past issues? I never thought of it that way. My four siblings and I are a microcosm of the country, representing liberals, conservatives, atheists, and Christians, just like the family described as having a blowout on Thanksgiving in June's edition. Our mother's solution to our arguing is that we're not allowed to talk about politics or religion or play Trivial Pursuit. That rule has kept the peace for 25 years. That's Suzanne Hutchison of Zewaukee, Kansas. For sale. My catalog of dad jokes. I both laughed and cried at Gary Rudoran's story about having to no use for his dad joke collection now that his son has outgrown them. I saved mine, too. When my kids got too old, it was a great decision because now I have three grandkids who are young enough to laugh hysterically at my now Opa jokes. Mark Kohlenberger, Rome, New York. Everyday heroes. It's so refreshing that dads in Shreveport, Louisiana, banded together to help curb fighting the local high school just by showing up and being good influences. Students must feel safer, and also if they have adults to mentor and listen to them. I'd love to see something like this in every high school in my own state. Juanita Livingston, Akron, Ohio. 13 things. You did a good job explaining the benefits of Airbnb and VRBO, Vrbo, but there were some downsides, too. My daughter lives in a vacation town where every house is instantly snapped up by someone who turns it into a vacation rental, which causes a severe shortage of affordable long-term rentals. She sometimes has to block off half of her restaurant, not because of a lack of customers, but because of a lack of staff, since nobody can find affordable housing nearby. Tim Hockett in Colfax, Washington. Flip the script. I enjoyed your story about home remedies, and I have another cure for an ailment you described a few years ago. My entire class was silent for a lesson, except me. I couldn't stop hiccuping. My teacher gave me a spoonful of peanut butter, and my hiccups were gone. Now I understand why it worked. Hard swallows activate the nerve that regulates your diaphragm. That's from Kane Ulrich in Montgomery, Alabama. Dear reader, I completely agree with your editor's letter about how much support Ukraine deserves. Palestine is experiencing a similar crisis, but doesn't get nearly the coverage. Being born an American is a privilege. We should use it to help others as much as possible. That's in Savia Blevins, Knoxville, Tennessee. And here's one from Carol Beale in Mort Aire, Maryland. Advice to the young. How I related to Margaret Atwood's writing about her urge to dole out advice. I often feel compelled to offer helpful information, too. But I have felt the tug on my sleeve to stop. The most likely recipients of such sagacity are my very patient grandkids. They know I do it out of love. We found a fix. I love that in your cool-off-a-hot-car fix, you chose Tesla Model 3 image to demonstrate that flapping the door open and closed will get rid of hot air. That vehicle has a feature that allows the driver to turn the air conditioner on remotely via a smartphone app. That's from Phil Stisson in Newcastle, California. The Orbiculate Challenge. We published warning this fruit may obsolocate in December, January, about a family's quest to register their dad's made-up word in a dictionary. Later, we printed a letter from Sue Mullinex of Torrington, Connecticut, who wrote that her senior community chose it for its word in a word game. Within an hour, the residents found 223 words with four or more letters within Orbisculate. That's, by the way, that's spelled Orbisculate. She challenged others to try their luck, and lots of you did. I accepted Sue's challenge and found 278 words. Not bad for an old brawl. That's from Sue Stern in Pataskala, Ohio. I know Pataskala. I've been there. We took more than 1 hour, but we were only two people. We counted 306 words, and we keep finding more. Ken and Hazel Kirschman, Huntington, West Virginia. I love word games and sat down for an hour to make my list. I stopped when I got to 400, but probably could have kept going. DB in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And this is from The World of Good, A Reason to Smile. And there's a picture here of a huge crowd, obviously in a stadium, and they've got their back to the field, and they're looking towards a building that has a children's hospital sign on it. And this is called the Iowa Wave. Tune in to a University of Iowa football game at the end of the first quarter, and you'll see players, coaches, and fans, Hawkeyes and their opponents, united in one goal, to cheer on the patients of the Stead Family Children's Hospital. All 69,250 people in attendance turn and wave in the direction of the hospital, where kids, their families, and staffers get at the big windows overlooking Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. It's one of the reasons I go to the game, says junior Olivia Hasselman. Her friend, senior Ruby Nye, agrees. It kind of forces you to stop and think about things more important than football. And it really is a cute thing. The huge windows overlook the field, and you can see the people in the windows looking down. The movie gets a new ending, and this is Everyday Heroes. And there's a picture of a middle-aged man, gray hair, slightly balding, in front of a bunch of TV equipment. A producer discovers that the bad guy in his real-life crime drama is innocent. Timothy Musiante was an executive producer working on a film called Lucky, when something in the script struck him as odd. The film was based on the 1990 memoir of the same title by Alice Siebold, author of The Lovely Bones. It records her sexual assault in 1981 while a freshman at Syracuse University. It was late at night when Siebold was walking alone back to her dorm. As she entered a tunnel, a man brandishing a knife grabbed her, threw her to the ground, and raped her. The book's title came from a police officer who said the girl had once been murdered in that tunnel. By comparison, the officer told Siebold, she'd been lucky. In October of that year, Siebold said a man on the Syracuse street called out, "Hey girl, don't I know you from somewhere?" Siebold mistakenly assumed that the man, Anthony Broadwater, then 20, and a Marine, was speaking to her. She became alarmed. Broadwater looked vaguely like her attacker. Both were black and around the same size and age. Siebold called the cops and Broadwater was arrested. Although he steadfastly proclaimed his innocence, he was convicted of 8 felony counts, including first-degree rape. He would spend 16 years in prison. When released in 1998, he had to register as a sex offender. The crime was brutal, but was Broadwater guilty? After comparing the script to news accounts of the trial, Musiante wasn't sure. During a police lineup, Siebold initially picked out a different man before eventually changing her mind. Not only that, Siebold later said, she and the men stood only feet apart. "I knew that was not how lineups work," says Musiante, who was no stranger to them. He was in a lineup in 1980 when he was arrested and ultimately served time for an investment fraud. Victims and suspects are never that close. Was she lying? Confused? Who knows? But convinced something was very wrong with this story, Muciano pulled the $5 million he put up to finance Lucky. It was not a decision he made lightly. Muciante, who had been a lawyer and journalist, had just formed his own film company a year earlier. Lucky was to be his big break. Using his own money, Muciante hired a private investigator and contacted two lawyers who found numerous discrepancies in the case. A partial fingerprint on the pocket knife used in the rape could not be linked to Broadwater. Distinguishing features like a scar on Broadwater's face and his chipped tooth were never mentioned and did not appear in a police sketch. And Broadwater passed two polygraph tests. And then there was a police crime analyst who testified that hair found at the scene had characteristics that were consistent with Broadwater's, but the hair comparison method he used was deemed unreliable in later cases, leading to several defendants being set free. Convinced they had enough to acquit Broadwater, the team brought their findings before a judge. On November 22, 2021, Anthony Broadwater, then 61, sat in the courtroom, his salt and pepper hair and cornrows, awaiting the judge's ruling. When he heard it, he let out a gasp and wept. He'd been exonerated. His name would no longer be tainted by the word sex offender. Siebold regrets her mistake, saying she struggles with the role she played in sending an innocent man to jail. Mucciante was almost as happy as Broadwater. Watching Anthony get his life back is the biggest benefit, he says. As for a film career, Mucciante is producing a documentary about the case called Unlucky. In it, Broadwater, overcome by all Mianche and the others did for him, struggles to find the right words. This is amazing, he says. It's just like you can't fathom it, man. And another everyday hero. And there's a picture of a fairly young man, probably in his 30s, with a beard. He has a tattooed left arm. And he's sitting in front of a off-road vehicle and with a, looks like a pit bull, sitting there next to him very calmly. Caleb Benham and a fully healed Buddy. I assume Buddy is the dog. It was the day, it was called Bear Trap. It was the day before Thanksgiving, and Caleb Benham was puttering around outside his home in Northern California. His 90-pound pit bull, Buddy, was romping around nearby, doing what dogs do, getting into trouble. Only this time, Buddy was getting into a whole lot of trouble. The unmistakable sound that no one wants to hear alone in the woods caught Benham's attention. It was the deep, guttural, otherworldly roar of a black bear. Benham wheeled around to see the beast, which Benham figures weighed around 350 pounds, some 100 feet away. In an instant, the bear latched onto Buddy's head and started dragging him away. Benham, a fit, lean 24-year-old, took off after them. Honestly, he told CBS 13 in Sacramento, the only thing I could think of was save my baby. Sprinting, he lowered his shoulder and plowed into the bear, but it only tightens his grip on Buddy. Benham grabbed the bear by the throat. Nothing. He tried prying open its mouth, but the jaw was locked tight. Benham resorted to street fighting, pumping the bear over and around its snout and eye. It worked. The bear dropped the dog and ran off into the woods. Buddy was in bad shape. His face was bloody and ripped up. His ears were dangling. He had a bite mark clear through his lip, and one that barely missed an eye. My first thought that I was going to lose him, Benham said. He scooped up Buddy, put him in his car, and sped off to a nearby veterinarian. Buddy's surgery took nearly 4 hours. Benham watched the procedure through a window. I just stood there, he said, watching as Buddy's ears were stapled back on, and skin flaps were stitched, and tubes were inserted into his head to drain fluid. It was the second time Benham had rescued Buddy, said CBS 13. The first was from a shelter a few years ago. If it was your kid, what would you do, he asked. Nodding toward Buddy, he added, that's my kid. Now here's the thing about books, and I think it's kind of interesting. 24 surprising facts you never knew about the Bible. Whether you know your scriptures, chapter and verse, or you rarely take a peek at the good book, these Bible facts will surprise you. And there's a picture of a young lady's hands holding a holy Bible. Thou shalt not steal this Bible. One of the most well-known Bible facts is the best-selling book of all time. It's estimated that 25 million copies are sold each year in the United States alone. But did you know the good book is also the most frequently shoplifted? Apparently, certain readers grab it before they reach the Ten Commandments. Turn out everyone's breaking this commandment. The Bible kick-started the publishing industry. Though the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblios, meaning scrolls, the Bible was actually the first book to be printed by movable type, instead of being written by hand. Johann Gutenberg probably finished his first printing in 1455 in Mainz, Germany. Almost 600 years later, just 49 copies of the Gutenberg Bible are still in existence, and less than half of those are complete copies. One is under lock and key at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. Better check your bookshelves. You might have something worthwhile. Dying for a translation. It's a little-known Bible fact that not so long ago, translating the Bible into a language other than Latin could get you into more than hot water. John Wycliffe went ahead and did it anyway, translating it into English in the 14th century. 43 years after his death, the Roman Catholic Church actually dug up his corpse, burned it, and threw the ashes into the river to punish him for his supposed sin. Another early translator, William Tyndale, was burnt at the stake for heresy in 1536. Ironically, these days there are 58 English-language versions of the Bible for sale. There also happens to be a Reader's Digest version. It's the source of many of our common phrases. In the end, the first official language, English-language Bible was worth waiting for. The influence and beauty of the King James Bible, issued in 1611, can hardly be overestimated. As the late essayist and famous atheist Christopher Hitchin once wrote, the King James Bible crystalline prose continues to echo in our language. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Eat, drink, and be merry, from strength to strength. Grind the faces of the poor, salt of the earth, our Father which art in heaven. And the Sinner's Bible. What a difference one little word can make. In 1631, once English-language Bibles were finally legal, publisher Robert Barker came out with a version most notable for its omission of a certain word in the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt commit adultery." About 1,000 copies of this Sinner's Bible, a.k.a. the Adulterous Bible or the Wicked Bible, were distributed before anyone noticed. We'll never know how many people obeyed the amended commandment, but 400 years later, there are only 9 copies of the Sinner's Bible left. The She Bible. Even fairly minor typos in Bibles, early Bibles, get collectors really excited. Take the She Bible. Dating to 1611, you would think a time-traveling feminist had got hold of the book and changed God's gender throughout. Although some wish this was one of the interesting Bible facts, it's really just a misprint in the Book of Ruth, reading "she went into the city" rather than "he went into the city." A copy of the She Bible turned up at St. Mary's Parish Church in Lancashire, England, a few years ago, and was valued at over $65,000. A piece of American religious history. Sold for more than $14 million at Sotheby's in 2013, the Bay Psalm book is one of the most extensive books in the world, and it isn't even a complete Bible. It's a poetic English translation of Psalms by leading Puritan ministers from the Massachusetts Bay Colony, published in 1640, the first book ever printed in what is now the United States. At 47 pages, each page is worth almost $300,000. As an artifact of colonial American religious history, it's practically priceless. Number 8 out of 24, the tiniest good book. Now the faithful have no excuse to leave their Bible facts and scriptures at home. All 1.2 million letters of the Old Testament have been nano-printed onto the surface of the Nano Bible, a 5x5 millimeter aluminum disc. But since each impossible tiny letter measures 600 nanometers, you would need an electron microscope to read it. It might just be easier to go to the nearest hotel and consult Gideon's Bible. 9 of 24. The biggest Bible in the world. The biggest Bible fact of all is that Goliath himself might have trouble toting around the largest Bible ever recorded. It's called the Waianae Bible, and it's housed at the Abilene Christian University in Texas. This gargantuan King James Version weighs over 1,000 pounds, is 43.5 inches tall, and measures 98 inches wide when fully open. It took Louis Waianae, a self-ordained minister, years to print the text on each mammoth page using his own self-made rubber stamp press. That's a Bible that would make quite a thump if you dropped it. 10 of 24. The Bible? Teen magazine? Not all novel editions of the Bible are so enduring. In 2006, the Christian publishing house Tom and Nelson repacked the New Testament as the Blossom Bible Zine for young girls. With the look of the latest teen magazines, the wisdom of Scripture, and sidebars filled with the great advice of a big sister, it helps you find your way through topics like school, friends, parents, beauty, your body, and peer pressure. These years won't be easy, but by studying what God has to say to you, you can develop into a girl of faith. Biblical life begins at 500. Either modern humanity is getting a raw deal or one of the Bible facts we believe about the passage of time are seriously off, because early biblical carriers have stunningly long lifespan. As you may know, Methuselah lived the longest and finally passing at 969 years of age. But Adam, Seth, Noah, and a few others apparently all amass it past 900. After the flood, biblical lives shortened dramatically, but Abraham and Isaac both look close to 200, and even comparatively short-lived Joseph makes it to 110. And number 12 out of 24, the greatest toy story ever told. The Brick Bible may just be the oddest version of Scripture ever created. An artist known as L.B. Sperling has illustrated a book and website with Bible scenes faithfully recreated in Lego bricks. Recognizing that all biblical materials is PG, Sperling has also thoughtfully provided a brick Bible for kids, focusing on tamer tales like Noah's Ark and Jonah and the Whale. Judas was a redhead? We'll never know if this one is one of the Convert Bible facts. There are many red-haired portrayals, of the infamous apostle who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, including in paintings such as Da Vinci's The Last Supper, and even plays like Shakespeare's As You Like It. His very hair is the dissembling color, something browner than Judas. But nowhere in the text of the New Testament does someone actually describe his hair color. And the net effect of all these forced portrayals was to whip up centuries of prejudice against people with red hair. Give your carrot-headed friends a break. Come on. Who wrote the orphan psalms? No, they're not the ones about orphans. They're the psalms without an author attached. In addition to King David, who was credited with some of the most famous ones, including the 23rd, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and his successor, Solomon, there were at least half a dozen other psalm contributors, including Moses. But 18 psalms in the Hebrew Bible and 17 more in the New Testament cannot be attributed to any author. The toughest Bible heroine. And there's a picture here of two ladies with a chopped-off head. Hands down, it's got to be Judith, a ravishing, ruthless widow in the town of Bethulia who seduces Holofernes, the general of the invading Persian army, gets him drunk in his own tent, and decapitates him with two strokes of his own sword. She sticks the head into the bag, walks up to the gates, and displays it, scaring away the enemy forces. Could a modern style do better? We think not. Worst family member in Scripture. There's a lot of competition for this one. Abraham, who is willing to sacrifice his only son on God's command, is certainly in the running. Then there's Cain, who kills his only brother. Then there's Rebecca, who convives with her son Jacob to cheat his elder brother Esau out of his birthright, even go as far as to lay a pelt on Jacob's arm to convince her dying husband is actually Esau, who was known as a hairy man. However, Joseph's brothers take the cake. When Father Jacob gives Joseph a coat of many colors, remember the musical Joseph and the Amazing Dream Technicolor Dream Coat? His jealous older brothers decide to kill Joseph and throw him in a hole. One brother intervenes, so they sell him into slavery instead, telling Dad that Joseph was eaten by a wild animal. How's that for sibling rivalry? Of course, Joseph got the last laugh in that, if you know the Bible. The Bible's most married man. Of all the polygamists in the Bible, one of the interesting Bible facts is there are quite a few. King Solomon clearly takes the cake. Described as having 700 wives and 300 concubines, wonders how he can remember their names, let alone distinguishing details. If he visited a different woman every night in turn, almost 3 years would pass before each one saw him again. But he must have spent more time with some because his foreign wives are credited with leading him to worship their gods, bringing about the eventual downfall division of his kingdom. Animals in the Bible. So many biblical figures are shepherds that it isn't surprising to find that sheep are by far the most frequently mentioned critters in the Scriptures. Goats are a distant second. But there are about 100 other animals ambling across its pages, including some that since disappeared from the Middle East, such as hippopotami, crocodile, that's in Job 40:15-25, crocodiles, Ezekiel 29:3-6, hartebeest, Deuteronomy 14:4, cheetahs, Habakkuk 1:8, bears, 2 Kings 2:24, and lions, mentioned on over 150 occasions. One animal that never makes an appearance, the domestic house cat. The first nudist. We don't really count Adam and Eve, since they grabbed those fig leaves as soon as they realized they were naked. No, the prophet Isaiah is the first biblical character to go naked deliberately. Obeying God's command, Isaiah roamed around barefoot and stark naked for 3 years, warning against the coming threat of Ethiopia and Egypt. These days, stripping into the buff might not strengthen a preacher's credibility, but they would certainly draw a crowd. 20 of 24, and here's a picture of Charlton Heston as Moses, playing God. It takes a special kind of moxie to portray the Almighty, even in a movie. But many actors have taken on the challenge. Some favorites are Charlton Heston, booming commands in the Ten Commandments. Graham Chapman is a grumpy floating head in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And Morgan Freeman's light humorous role in Bruce Almighty. They also forgot the comedian who played God. Bibliomancy. The simplest form of fortune-telling may be the practice of asking a question and open a sacred book at random to divine the answer. It's called bibliomancy, and naturally the Bible has been used for this practice countless times. Bibliomancy is meant more for Bible guidance than for Bible fact or concrete answers, which is something to remember if your Bible falls open at the book of Revelations. Verily I will sing unto the Lord. Many musicians are well known for their religious beliefs, from Christian songwriter Amy Grant to the Irish band U2. According to the New Yorker, churches around the world have held U2-charists, full service at which a traditional church music is replaced by songs by U2. But other pop greats who've drawn on scriptures include Bob Marley, By the Rivers of Babylon, Bruce Springsteen, Adam Raised a Cain, Carole King, Where You Lead, David Bowie, Lazarus, and our personal favorite, Iron Butterfly, in Gadda Da Vida, which translates to In the Garden of Eden. 23 out of 24, the original baby named Dictionary. Just in case you had any doubt about the Bible's continuing influence on contemporary culture, take a look at naming trends. More than half of the top 50 baby names for boys in 2019 have biblical origins, including old standbys like Jacob and Daniel, more recently such hits as Noah and Elijah, and nicknames for foreign versions of biblical names like Jackson and Mateo. Of course, with a book this long, there's a lot to choose from. And finally, the worst biblical names. While the scriptures supply some excellent monikers, there are other choices that would cast a truly hideous shadow on a poor child's life. The weirdest one is also the longest word in the Bible. The prophet Isaiah's son, Maharishahalahashahabaz, meaning plunder speedeth, spoil hasteth. The parents of the tactile actor Marashala Ali rose to the challenge. His actual name is Marashalahashahabaz, Ali Gilmore. Abednego, Hepzibiah, Nebuchadnezzar, and Nimrod are also pretty bad. But his own way, the fratricidal Cain might be just the most awful of all. And then we have, from Consumer Reports, Beat the Heat. What should a good sunburn do? This is their time traveler. In 1938, we test 33 sunburn preventatives and find many to be inadequate. Madame Carrie and Vail Florida suntan oil were the least effective. In 1945, due to a wartime rayon shortage, women use leg makeup that looks like stockings. We test 39 brands and find that many show sweat streaks in the heat. In 1950, getting a tan has become a major American summertime pursuit, CR says. We warn that skin cancer from sun exposure is not as uncommon as one thought. In 1960, CR reports boom in residential pools. Some 50,000 were built in 1959 alone, but ownership can be a pricey headache, we caution. In 1974, we suggest that installing an attic fan to cool your house rather than air conditioner to save on electric bills. 1978, we review a cooler chest for avant-garde picnickers, a portable fridge that plugs into a car cigarette lighter. It works, but it's costly, $169, and heavier than a normal cooler. 1989, we test air conditioners in a lab that simulates hot summer day and has 68 sensors to monitor cool air distribution. And Emerson Quiet Cool Air aces almost all our tests. In 1993, CR looks at the billion-dollar sports drink industry and finds that many exaggerated promises. Of the ingredients in sports drinks, water, carbohydrates, and sodium, only water is truly hydrating. In 2017, for the fifth year in a row, CR's testing shows that some sunscreens failed to provide the SPF on the label. Out of 58 products, we find 20 tested at less than half their stated SPF. I remember when we read that. 2022. Need a new AC? Our latest testing of the large room models revealed that the Midea is the best of the best and very reasonably priced for its size. It's a mid-Midea U-shaped at $500. Sure 5 fixes for clogged drains. Whether caused by grease in your kitchen sink or hair in your bathtub, clogs can cause trouble for your pipes, such as water backups and pipe breakage, if they aren't properly cleared. But before you call a plumber, try these do-it-yourself remedies. Plunger. It's tempting to jump straight to a chemical declogger, but to protect your pipes, try a plunger first, especially with a toilet, because chemicals can crack the porcelain. Use a flange plumber on a toilet clog because it has a rubber flap on the bottom to create a better seal for suction. Basic cup plungers work best for sink and tub drains. While plungers are a first line of defense, they may only partially clear pipes. Still clog? Move on to the next of the options. A snake, such as Ridge Quick Spin Drain Cleaning Snake Auger or a Husky Drain Auger Snake, cost from about $30 to $60. Snakes are effective at removing leftover sludge a plunger might leave behind. They featured a metal cable that you feed into a pipe. A corkscrew-shaped spring on the end hooks into clogs, allowing you to pull all the material out. Wear safety glasses and gloves when using a snake because standing water and debris can splash up from the drain. A caustic cleaner, such as Drano Liquid or Thrift Granules, costs from about $5 to $20. Especially effective on grease blockages that you might find in a sink. These products contain corrosive chemical ingredients like lye, sodium hydroxide, and potash, a type of potassium salt, which work quickly in about 30 minutes. Caustic cleaners may be too corrosive for old toilet pipes, which tend to be more fragile. They can also cause chemical burns on the skin, so use them with a lot of caution. An oxidizing cleaner such as Liquid Primer Industrial Strength Gel or Zep 10-Minute Hair Clog Remover cost from about $10. In general, these chemical-based cleaners are most helpful at removing organic materials such as hair and food, and are less effective on grease. They work in about 30 minutes and contain ingredients like bleach and peroxides that trip electrons away from organic matter to loosen the obstruction. Enzymatic cleaners, such as Green Gobbler or BioClean, cost from $12 to $70. These cleaners might not be as fact-lasting or as effective as the other cleaners, but they're safer for your pipes and more eco-friendly. They may need to be left in the clogged drain for several hours or even overnight. If you have a septic system, these can even be beneficial, adding bacteria that aid in breaking down the waste. Since we still have a fair amount of heat left in this season, let's check out the top-rated dairy-free ice cream. We tested 14 products with plant-based milks, olive or coconut oil, even avocado. Just how healthy are these, and do they taste good? Stroll through a grocery store's freezer aisle and you'll see that vegan ice cream is no longer a fad. There is nearly as many options as there are traditional dairy ice creams. With plant milks on the rise, it was only a matter of time before plant-based ice cream was going to be popular, says Amy Keating, a Rhett nutritionist at Consumer Reports. Sales, which are currently at $458 million a year, have grown 41% since 2018, according to the Bad Place Food Association, and are expected to keep climbing. CR recently reviewed 14 popular chocolate non-dairy frozen desserts for nutrition and taste and came up with a list of features that look for to get the perfect creamy, cool treat. Consider the base. In dairy ice cream, the base is milk, cream, or both. In a non-dairy frozen desserts, plant products take the lead. That includes almond, cashew, coconut, or oat milk, olive, coconut, or other oil, or even avocados. The base nearly always affects the taste of the dessert, our testers found. Some, like almond milk and olive oil, were more neutral, but coconut milk, and coconut oil were noticeable enough to come through the strong chocolate flavors. And if we had tested vanilla, the base flavors may have been even more pronounced. That's not necessarily a bad thing. For instance, coconut and oaty flavors pair nicely with the chocolate. But if you don't like the base flavor, you may not like the ice cream, Keating says. While our testers found several tasty non-dairy frozen desserts, two stood out. Häagen-Dazs chocolate salted fudge truffle, made with coconut oil and other oils, and Van Leeuwen chocolate fudge brownie, made with cashew milk, coconut oil, and cream. But make no mistake, even the tastiest non-dairy treats don't taste like ice cream. Calling it ice cream can set up an expectation that plant-based desserts can't truly live up to, says Robert F. Roberts, Ph.D., head of the food science department at Penn State University. Manufacturers can make a very good product, but because plant-based proteins don't work the same way as milk proteins, it's not ice cream. Be sure to check the sugar and saturated fat. No one scoops up a bowl of ice cream thinking it's a healthy snack, and making it vegan really doesn't change that, says Dr. D. Julian Clements, Ph.D., a professor of food science at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. For one thing, both plant-based frozen desserts and dairy ice cream can have a lot of sugar. Sugar lowers the freezing point and keeps the desserts from getting too hard. Real ice cream gets some of that sugar naturally from lactose and dairy, but non-dairy versions have no lactose and may have to add more sugar to get the same results, Robert says. For example, Häagen-Dazs Double Belgian Chocolate Chip Dairy Ice Cream has 29 grams of added sugars in two-thirds of a cup. Its non-dairy chocolate salted fudge truffle has 37 grams, a full teaspoon full 2 teaspoons more. And all these desserts are plant-based. They could be surprisingly high in calories and saturated fat. 9 of the ones we tested have 220 calories or more in 2/3 of a cup. And 5 had 10 to 21 grams of saturated fat per serving, as much or more than what's typical for dense premium dairy chocolate ice creams. For example, Von Leuwen Chocolate Fudge Brownie French Ice Cream has 330 calories and 12 grams of saturated fat per serving, versus 580 calories and 21 grams in his non-dairy version. Several of the products have a more reasonable 68 grams of saturated fat per serving. Those based on healthy or unsaturated fats can have even less. Keto, for example, is made with avocado and has just 2 grams of saturated fat. And olive oil-based Wild Grid has 1.5 grams. While the products with the best balance in nutrition and flavor were Breyer's non-dairy chocolate chip and Oatly non-dairy chocolate, they earned a very good rating for flavor and were lower in calories, saturated fat, and added sugars than many of the others, more in line with regular ice cream and less than what's typical for rich, dense, premium ice cream. Not a Mood dairy-free organic chocolate got the top nutrition rating and a good for flavor. The non-dairy desserts that scored the highest for taste, Häagen-Dazs and Van Leeuwen, got low ratings for nutrition, but both are very rich. A little goes a long way, so have 1/3 of a cup and cut your calorie, fat, and sugar intake in half. Better for the planet? Considerable research shows that plant-based products are better based for the environment than animal-based ones, McClement says. Dairy cows and milk processing produce about triple the greenhouse gases as plant milk production. It's still unclear whether one kind of plant milk is more planet-friendly than the other, but almond and rice milks have raised concerns because the crops require large amounts of water. Compare prices. Vegan ice creams can be expensive. Do you always get what you pay for? Yes and no. One of the best-tasting ones, Van Leeuwen, cost $8 per pint. Not far behind it in flavor and the least pricey in them all, Breyer's non-dairy chocolate chip at $5 for 1.5 quarts, which comes out to just $1.67 a pint. On the other hand, 2 frozen desserts with low taste cost considerably more, Nix at $7 per pint and Kato's at $8 per pint. Here's the scoop. Think vegan frozen desserts save you calories? Not so much. The 1CR tested range from 90 to 580 calories per 2/3 of a cup serving. Regular dairy ice cream has in general 150 to 200 calories per serving, and premium ice cream has about 250 to 300 or more. That's because the calorie count depends on several factors. One is the base, such as whole or skim milk in ice cream and coconut milk or olive oil in vegan desserts. How much air gets churned into the product matters too. Premium ice creams and premium frozen desserts tend to have less air and thus more calories. Another consideration, added sugars. Vegan desserts often has as much or more than dairy ice creams, usually unless they use the no or low-cal sugar substitutes, such as erythritol or stevia. Not a Moo organic chocolate scored a 60 all overall, and it cost $7 for a pint. Its base is coconut milk, baked coconut and cocoa flavors, smooth texture but slightly gummy. And then there's Forager, product organic dairy-free bittersweet chocolate. Uses cashew milk, its bittersweet chocolate flavor, slightly sweet, slightly icy and hard, lacks a creaminess, it only scored 42. And Ben & Jerry's chocolate fudge brownie only scored a 40. Non-Jerry chocolate fudge brownie at 550 a point. The base is almond milk, its rich dark chocolate with some diamond almond milk flavor and chewy, fudgy brownie pieces, dense. And then there's Kato, that's with avocados. Kato non-dairy avocado deep dark chocolate, $8 a pint. Avocado, tastes mostly sweet with little chocolate flavor, smooth and slightly gummy. Nix Vegan Chocolat scored a 50. By the way, the Kato scored a 54. Nix Vegan Chocolat scored a 50. It's $7 for a pint. It's got mixed oil, sugary, overly sweet, chocolate flavor, has a strong cherry note. Chocolate pieces are slightly bitter. And then there's So Delicious Dairy-Free Wonder Milk Chocolate Cocoa Chip at 550 a point, scored a 34. Sugar and mixed oil is decent chocolate flavor, but fairly strong nutty, seedy flavor. And then a 53-point score, Oatly non-dairy chocolate at 550 a point. Oat milk, mild chocolate flavor with an underlying nutty taste from the oat milk. And a 53 also was Breyer's non-dairy chocolate chip, $5 for a quart and a half. Almond milk, big chocolate flavor with sparse semi-sweet chunks. Not so creamy, it's similar to low-fat ice cream. Cosmic Bliss scored a 51. Cosmic Bliss Organic Dairy-Free Dark Chocolate at $7 for 14 fluid ounces, so not quite a pint. Coconut Milk, Big Coconut and Rich Dark Chocolate Flavor, not too sweet. Haagen-Dazs Non-Dairy Chocolate Salted Fudge Truffle, scored a 49. Sugar and Mixed Oils, Rich Flavor plus Chocolate Swirls and Slightly Softened Truffle Chunks. Planet Oak Chocolate, non-dairy chocolate, that scored a 47. Oat Milk, Mild Cocoa Flavor, not too sweet. And there's Wild Good, scored a 43. Wildwood non-dairy chocolate at $6 a pint. Its base is sugar and olive oil. Sweet and salty chocolate flavor with a caramel note. And then there's 31 score for Brave Robot animal-free ice cream, a lot of chocolate. Non-animal when they whey protein, mixed oils and sugar. Big chocolate flavor, scored a 31. And the lowest scoring is Alain Von Leeuwen at 29. Von Leeuwen non-dairy chocolate fudge brownie, $8 for 14 fluid ounces. Cashew milk and coconut milk and coconut cream, rich fudgy chocolate flavor. What's with all the additives? You can make ice cream at home with just a few ingredients, milk, cream, sugar, and something like for flavor like vanilla or cocoa. A few dairy ice creams sold in grocery stores have similar ingredients lists. But frozen desserts, dairy and non-dairy, often contain additives such as a variety of gums, guar, locust bean, starches and fibers, corn and chicory root, sugar substitutes, allulose, etherol, and proteins, fava bean and pea. In dairy ice cream, some of those ingredients, particularly the gums, are added to increase shelf life or to keep sugar crystals from freezing, says Robert F. Roberts. But non-dairy desserts may need these and other additives to help the product behave more like ice cream. For example, casein, a protein found naturally in milk, helps make dairy ice cream thick and creamy. In plant-based ice cream, gums, starches, soy lectin, and monodiglycerides often play that role. In other products, plant proteins and fiber may also enter the mix to improve the product's overall texture. But don't think that these necessarily provide the same health benefits as getting those nutrients from a whole food. Well, hopefully we're entering the end of this period, but here's the CR's Ultimate Heat Survival Guide. With temperature rising, we've gathered the best ways to stay comfortable and safe, both inside and out, even on scorching hot days. On average, there are more heat waves each year in the U.S. than there used to be. 61 to 69, there were only two. 2010 to 2019, there were six. And the heat wave season is getting longer. 22 days in 61 and 69 versus 69 days in 2010 to 2019. Unless you've been living in a deep, cool cave somewhere, you're probably aware that our world, or at least many parts of it, is getting hotter. In the U.S., little has been more emblematic of these rising temperatures than June 2021's string of 110-degree days in the Pacific Northwest, where temperatures are typically in the 70s at this time of year. Almost 200 people perished, and there's some suggestion that the number was grossly underreported. Naturally and globally, the drumbeat of high heat advisories is quickening. It's definitive that we are already seeing an increase in the frequency, intensity, and duration of heat waves, says Christy L. Eby, Ph.D., MPH, a climate researcher and professor at the Center for Health and Global Environment at the University of Washington in Seattle. The projections are that this will continue across the U.S. At this point, heat, often in tandem with the high humidity, can risk the dangerous conditions such as heat stroke, kill up to 1,300 Americans annually. It sickens tens of thousands more, often the very young, the very old, the already ill, and the poor. Even if your locale doesn't experience record-shattering heat wave, you may well notice that it's simply hotter and more humid than it used to be. Climate change due to greenhouse gas emissions from cars, factories, and anything else that burns fossil fuels is largely at fault. The cooling industry is a factor, too. It accounts for about 10% of global emissions of carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas that contributes to climate change. And as we try to stay cool in the warming environment, the demand for air conditioning is going up, projected to trip globally by 2050. This will further hike emissions from the power plants that supply electricity to run our ACs. Global action to control these emissions is critical, as is continued development of more efficient cooling methods. But right now, you can take steps to find relief from the heat without driving up your energy cost or exacting a high toll on the environment. We've gathered the expert advice that will help you stay safe and comfortable at home during outdoor activities when the temperatures soar. Keep your home comfortable. A cool room may be the best place to be during heat waves, especially during the middle of the day when the temperatures tend to be at their highest. Some simple actions like swapping heat-emitting incandescent bulbs for LEDs or CFLs and routinely cleaning or replacing your AC filters can help you stay chill without ramping up your energy use and the bills. If you can't cool your home sufficiently, and especially if you're sweating profusely and or feeling confused, try to find a nearby cooling center, which could provide a much-needed respite from the heat by calling your local health department or area officials. Stop the heat from building up. Seal hot air out by keeps sweltering outdoor air from making its way into your home. Caulk and weather strip your doors and windows. Ensure when your attic installation was last replaced or whether it's adequate. A certified or licensed contractor can evaluate it. Block the sun. Close blinds, drapes, and shades, especially when the sun is hitting them. Doing so will minimize the intake of heat that you may have to get rid of later, says Wendell Porter, Ph.D., senior lecturer and emeritus in agricultural and biological engineering at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Stick on reflective solar blocking window film or mesh solar window screens also cut heat and glare. Be appliance wise. During the day's heat, avoid running your clothes dryer or oven. Use the cold water setting on your washing machine and the air dry setting on your dishwasher. For cooking, a multi-cooker, microwave, and or toaster, one oven won't heat up the kitchen the way your oven will. Consider bigger steps. Planted deciduous trees on the south side of your house provide shade in summer. Painting the exterior light color will reflect heat instead of absorbing it. Cool roof coating materials can shed heat, but are best in warmer climates where you need less heat gain from the sun in the winter. Low-tech cooling tactics. A flip fan on ceiling, portable, and window fan stir up breezes that speed sweat evaporation, which will help you feel cooler. A ceiling fan, for instance, can make the temperature feel up to 4 degrees chillier, says the Department of Energy. In the past, groups such as the World Health Organization have cautioned that electric fans can't cool us adequately when the temperature is above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. But research that was published in the Lancet Planetary Health in 2021 found that fans can offer relief 95% of the time when the temperature is between 98.6 and 102. Window fans typically pull outside air in and circulate it, so they may be most effective at night. Chill out at night. Natural breather bedding fabrics, such as cotton and linen, allow sweat to dissipate instead of locking in the way synthetic fibers like polyester and nylon may. People who sleep hot might consider a mattress cooling pad or a mattress that retains less heat on hot nights. Optimize your AC. Position it properly. Place window units in north-facing or shaded windows. A unit pounded by the sun will have to work much harder to cool the room. Keep heat-emitting objects such as computers, TVs, and lamps out of the line of the unit's airflow for the same reason. Give it some TLC. Vacuum window and filters every couple of weeks. Window unit filters every couple of weeks. Wash the filters with warm water and soap at least every 2 months, and replace the filters when they're worn. For a whole house system, a licensed certified AC contractor can check every year to make sure your AC or heat pump system is running well. Up your efficiency. To reduce your AC usage, stay comfortable, use fans at the same time. Set thermostat 1 or 2 degrees higher on you would otherwise with a fan on, Porter says. Each degree higher on your AC is set towards 78 degrees can save up to 4% on your energy cost. A Wi-Fi-enabled smart thermostat, which allows you to manage your central AC via smartphone, may let you set different temperatures for different rooms and times of the day. Some newer Wi-Fi-enabled window ACs are also smart and can be controlled by a smartphone or tablet. Buy smart air conditioners with the Energy Star label on the most energy-wise and planet-friendly. Also, check for a high seasonal energy efficiency ratio, SEER, which tells you how energy-efficient central AC system is. Right now, the minimum rating is 14 SEER, and some go up to 21, says Don Brandt, a recently retired HVAC sales engineer who spent 39 years at Trane Technologies. The higher the rating, the more likely you're to spend, but the better unit is, and the more you will save every year. Check AC alternatives. Evaporative coolers, which are best for a dry climate, chill outdoor air before it's directed into your home. Another option is an energy-efficient heat pump, which provides cool air in the summer and heat in the winter. Take smart steps when you're outside. Whether you're mowing the lawn or taking a power walk, be especially careful when being physically active during the summer's heat. On very hot and humid days, your body's ability to dissipate heat declines, says Thomas Waters, MD, FACEP, an emergency medicine physician at the Cleveland Clinic. Don't think you can just prove through it. Here's what the experts advise. Avoid hot spots. Dress to cool. Loose, light, pale-color clothing and breathe in natural fibers like cotton and linen. Reflect heat instead of absorbing it, and permit perspiration to evaporate, cooling you down. But for exercise or physical outdoor physical work in the heat, activewear that's moisture-wicking, look for terms on clothing tags, is a good choice, says Mike Szymanski, Director of Education at the University of Connecticut's Corey Stringer Institute. The clothing has tiny capillary-like structures that pull sweat away from the skin to the fabric surface, cooling you down. Prevent sunburn. A burn can increase the likelihood of dehydration and heat illness, so be diligent about your protection, even on cloudy days. Seek shade between 10 or 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. when possible, Szymanski says. When you're in the sun, wear a wide-brimmed hat and apply sunscreen with an SPF of at least 30. SPF is 50 is better. Reapply every 2 hours and immediately after swimming or sweating. Watch out for hot car hazards. A car's interior can heat up by up to 40 degrees within an hour, which can lead to dangerously or even deadly temperatures. Never leave anyone, especially children who heat up far faster than adults, or pets unattended inside a vehicle. Note, new cars from more than 15 manufacturers offer bat seat occupancy reminders to reduce the risk that someone will be left in a vehicle on a hot day. These will become standard in most cars by 2025. Tesla's dog mode features can keep the vehicle's HVAC operating when it's parked. Take a dip on a day that's very hot provides a double dose of relief. You feel cooler while you're swimming, and the evaporation of water on your skin afterward will cool you off even more. Harness the cooling power of water. Many of us don't drink enough liquids when temperatures climb, and dehydration can hike the risk of dangerous heat stroke. When you know heat is coming, you need to drink more than you think you need, says Wayne C. McCormick, M.D., a physician at the University of Washington School of Medicine in Seattle. How much liquid you really need to take in depends on several factors, such as the weather, your activity level, even the particular medications you're taking. But a cup of liquid every 90 minutes while you're awake is a good start. If you're outside in the heat, working or exercising, ramp that up to a cup every half an hour. And if you aren't urinating much, say only every 4 hours, drink more. Thirst isn't really a reliable indicator. By the time you feel thirsty, you're already somewhat dehydrated. If you find it hard to hydrate as much as you probably should, set alerts on your phone as a reminder. Sipping small amounts of liquid throughout the day, adding slices of citrus to a pitcher of water, eating high-water foods such as fruit can also help you get enough liquid when the heat is on. Alcohol is also dehydrating, so keep consumption low when it's hot. Caffeinated drinks can act as diuretics, but the impact isn't significant enough to negate their hydrating power, says Gordon Geisbrick, Ph.D., who runs the Laboratory for Exercise and Environmental Medicine at the University of Manitoba in Canada. Try a better water bottle. Cool liquids feel good going down, and research shows that they can also help reduce your body's core temperature. Water that's cool, 50 to 60 degrees, but not ice cold, is optimal for hydration, Szymanski says. But if super cold beverages are what get you drinking enough liquids, go for it. Heading out and about? Consider an insulated water bottle. Clean Canteen, Stanley Coleman, Mira, and Hydro Flask, among others, lay claim to keep water refreshingly cool for at least 24 hours. For walking, hiking, and cycling, considering a hydration backpack, which has a water pouch built into straw to let you sip on the go. And for those of you who've watched the military in the sandbox in the Mideast, realize that that's one of the things all of the Marines and soldiers carried was a backpack with a hydrator. Replace what sweat steals. If you're seriously sweating through the heat wave, working outside, or exercising in the heat, snag something with electrolytes. These substances, which include sodium and potassium, are key to helping you retain fluids and ward off dehydration while sweating. Sports drinks contain electrolytes, as do a number of hydration supplements, powders, and tablets. You can add to plain water. Hydration supplements you may see include LMNT, Hydrant, Nun, N-U-U-N, and Scratch, spelled with a K, Lab Sport Hydration Drink Mix. Live the aquatic life. Taking a dip on a blistering hot day delivers a double dose of relief, as we read earlier. Taking a cool bath or shower, wiping a damp cloth over your skin, spritzing yourself with cool water from a mister, or dunking your hat in water before putting back on your head can lower your body temperature, too. For a quick chill, place a cool, damp cloth on pulse points like your armpits, forehead, and the back of your neck. This helps cool the blood circulating throughout your body. But be cautious about ice baths or using ice packs on pulse points for prolonged periods, Waters says. You may cool yourself too much, causing you to shiver, which is your body's attempt to generate heat, the opposite of what you want. When heat makes you sick, know the signs of heat-related illnesses and the steps to take if you experience them. Heat cramps, marked by muscle spasms or pain and possibly heavy sweating during intense physical activity. Stop, get to a cool place, and drink water or beverage with electrolytes. Get medical help right away if you have heart problems, you're on a low-sodium diet, or your cramps last longer than an hour. Heat exhaustion. This can progress to heat stroke if not addressed. Signs may include heavy sweating, fatigue, weakness, a cold, clammy feeling, a pale appearance, a fast but weak pulse, nausea or vomiting, muscle cramps, a headache, and even fainting. Cease physical activity, get to a cool place, use a wet cloth or take a cool bath to lower body temperature, and sip water. Get medical help right away if you vomit or symptoms worsen or last more than an hour. Heat stroke. This can be fatal if not addressed, so call 911 ASAP. In the case of confusion or agitation, fainting, and an inability to sweat, while awaiting help, rest in an air-conditioned room or get into a cool shower or bath. Don't drink anything. And here's a couple of heat warnings decoded. Excessive heat outlook. A heat wave is possible with 3 to 7 days. Excessive heat watch. Conditions are ripe for a heat wave within 1 to 3 days. Heat advisory. A maximum heat index temperature of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or more with night-type temperatures of 75 degrees Fahrenheit or higher is expected within 12 hours and to last at least 2 days. Excessive heat warning. Extremely dangerous heat conditions, a maximum heat index temperature of 105 degrees Fahrenheit or more for at least 2 days with nighttime temps 75 degrees or higher within 12 hours. Heat index. A measure of how hot it feels outside based on temperature and humidity. The latter is the key. The more humid the hair, the longer it takes for sweat to evaporate to help cool you down. Heat wave or extreme excessive heat. Abnormally hot and possibly humid weather for the time of year, an area that typically lasts more than 2 days. It's important to prepare for these high heat situations, according to the National Weather Service, by ensuring, for instance, that you'll have a place to stay cool and access to plenty of liquids to help you stay hydrated. To get forecast in your area, go to weather.gov and type in your zip code. And a quick life in these United States. Whenever my 3-year-old grandson comes to visit, we inevitably play Army. I'm the lowly private, and he's the general barking out orders. Soldier do this, soldier do that. One day, while we were playing, he needed to use the bathroom. A few minutes later, the door opened, and there he stood, his pants around his ankles. Shoulder, I can't get my pants up. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Please be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.